This episode of China Money Podcast is sponsored by Lehman Brown, a China accounting, audit, and advisory firm. Golden Gate, a law firm providing a full range of legal services in China. Covert Limited, a leading internet privacy tool. And 51mice.com, a comprehensive online platform for meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions in China. Please go to our website, chinamoneynetwork.com, and click on our sponsors' links. Thank you so much, everyone, for your support. Hello, everyone. Welcome to China Money Podcast. I'm your host, Nina Xiang. Our guest today is Dr. Wang Jun, founder and CEO of iCarbonX. He was previously chief executive officer at BGI, formerly known as the Beijing Genomics Institute, one of the earliest and biggest genome sequencing centers in China. During his studies at the Peking University, first in artificial intelligence, then in bioinformatics, Wang co-founded BGI in 1999 and managed three rounds of fundraising of around $1 billion in total for BGI and led the company's acquisition of a U.S. public company, Complete Genomics. He founded iCarbonX in 2015. The company has since raised around $200 million in total and reached $1 billion valuation in 6 months' time. He talked with me 2 weeks ago in Shenzhen. Here is our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, Wang Jun. Welcome to China Money Podcast.
Well, thanks. Nice to see you again.
So, did you know that iCarbonX is a company in the world that actually became a unicorn faster than any other company?
I didn't realize. This is not really my goal. I mean, I started this company to try to do something good for the society, right? To make the digitalized life and to develop a lot of applications, helping people manage their life, you know, improve the healthcare, all those things there. So, so becoming a unicorn is absolutely not one of the goal, but it sort of happened like that. Yeah.
As a way of background, we actually checked 180 unicorns in globally to see which company actually achieved that valuation. So. Your company took 6 months, and that's faster than any other company. I know that's not your objective, obviously, but it's just an interesting fact. So you're actually a world record holder in that.
I think that's pressure, right? So it's basically an evaluation for the future, for the vision, and also for the team, and for the things we are doing. Doesn't mean we've already done that. And
right.
People keep that valuation because we've done that. People keep the valuation because they think we could achieve that. And the team of us could basically not, I mean, Unicom is a start point, basically. So they believe we are going to make something huge. And I think that's pressure, basically. Yeah.
So we're just talking about, you major in your undergrad at Peking University. You studied biophysics, so when did you discover your early interest in life science?
At the undergraduate school, I was majoring in artificial intelligence, but I co-founded BGI when I was still in my PhD program. By that time, they do not really have a major called genomics or bioinformatics, not in the university. So I eventually got a degree at biophysics, which basically when my PhD thesis are doing all the genomics work, including rice genome, human genome, and all these things. Yeah.
So in the early 1990s, what do you study in artificial intelligence?
Well, at that time, it was really just the sort of start of the computing science and the desktop, and everything. People started to have their own computers there. So I was really doing a lot of interesting research on the neural network and computer sync, basically. That was the basically beginning of the sort of first wave of artificial intelligence study. Yeah.
So then how did you, I mean, back in the 1990s, artificial intelligence wasn't something that people even, think about. How did you decide to study that?
Well, I was interested about the question, could computer sync, right? So it's not just a bigger calculator, it's become a something really a machine which could think. This is the whole idea. Make myself fascinated. And so I was trying to see if could computer really think. And so the first statistics when I was in the undergraduate school is studying lady beetles and how they catch their food, basically. And the whole strategy of the moving strategy finally just almost exactly the same as the evolutionary results in the real world. So it basically shows up all the neural networks and the whole system, so-called artificial intelligence, could make the computer thinking out of the best strategy to do that, not just we teach them what to do.
So you were really ahead of the curve, right? Because in the 1990s, like, people were not thinking about, you know, computer thinking like humans.
Well, at that time I was, I got several, multiple backgrounds, right? Computing science, mathematics, and biology, so it's a natural sort of conversion of the whole thing. It started to thinking, could machine, you know, think, you know, could machine think like human? But then, you know, I soon realized it's actually much more difficult than I thought. The computing power is not enough, you know, the whole data, try to, you know, doing all those things is not, we don't really know human enough, basically. I mean, to make computer think is one thing, to make computer think like human is another thing. So you really need to, if you really need to understand how could computer think like human, you have to understand how humans think. That's actually part of the reason for the Human Genome Project, right? So that's a life code, it's a program program the life. And if you really want to understand the program, you have to decode it. So that was the Human Genome Project. And that was the reason we co-founded BTI, actually.
And then later you participated in genetic sequencing of a lot of interesting things like panda, cucumber, rice, and also you participated in 2003, the decoding of the SARS virus. So what was the most memorable experience from the 2003 SARS project?
Well, at that time it was really the outbreak is just sort of kind of like very sudden, in a very short time. And nobody knows what is the reason of doing that. And nobody doing correct diagnosis in a way that the hospital will use. So I think we spent something like 36 hours to just decode that virus genome and started to build the first diagnosis kits based on the SARS virus and genome itself. And then we free donated 300,000 kids to the hospital and making the hospital could do the right diagnosis, but not just diagnose them according to the body temperature. They could do some real tests of the virus. I think that was quite something. Yeah.
Did you work very short time. Yeah, did you work 36 hours in straight?
Well, I worked 36 hours straight for many, many nights. I mean, it's not just for SARS, right? So for many projects.
And then you move on to BJI, and then left in 2015 to start iCarbonX. Why did you leave BJI to start iCarbonX?
Well, actually, that decision was made last year, June. I left, not really left, I'm still the BJI board member and shareholder. So, but it was just because of the CEO position, I didn't really continue as the current business model that BGI is doing. So what BGI is doing is basically reading genes, right, sequencing. And my goal, as I just explained to you, since my very young age, was trying to understand life. And understand life is more than just genes. So we need to do multiple information of the of your life. So from genes to proteins to metabolites, to the lots of physical phenotypes and everything there, every data around you, so in order to understand life. So I decided to really move on and doing iCarbonX, trying to understand life itself, but instead of just sequencing the DNA. Yeah, that was really, and also it's the time. If you look at the whole BGI, started from the Human Genome Project doing $100 million per genome, but now it's a couple of hundred dollars. upper genome, basically. It's really, you know, the time for everybody to sequence themselves and started to knowing their life.
So the difference between iCarbon-X and BGI, obviously, iCarbon-X has the element of artificial intelligence. You're building a big database of genomes and trying to analyze it and provide intelligent information and clues for us to cure disease, predict disease, and manage our well-being, basically, right?
So as I said, the data from what BGI is focusing on, and ICX is focused, is different, right? So life is more than just DNA, and DNA is a baseline, but you need to have a lot of sort of data to describe your life status, like, you know, protein, like metabolites, like, you know, DNA methylation, like gut bacteria. I mean, all those things are not genome, but something else. And those are very important, right? So I have the same genome, but if I eat more, I become fat. So those are not, my gene remains the same, but lifestyle, diets is different, so the results is different, right? So if I, you know, overeating, I become diabetic, you know, if I sort of run marathon, you know, it's, the body reaction is totally different. So people choose different ways of living, and those choices will actually make a final impact on your life, and which will be quite different, basically.
So what other companies are doing similar things? I found one company that's perhaps comparable, called Deep Genomics. It's a U.S. company that's...
I don't think Deep Genomics is doing similar things in a sense. So. Well, people, this idea is not really unique in a way, right? But it's just what is the best time to do it. So everybody knows that... people are different, so they want to develop different things for or very tailored stuff for the individual. But how to do it, right? How to really digitalize you and base your information, try to provide you a very personalized or tailored product and service helping you to manage life. I don't think it's many. I don't think there is other companies in the world is doing the same thing as we are doing. Yeah, it's quite different.
You're going to launch your first product soon. We know that it's about healthcare and skincare, maybe female tailored, personalized products. Can you share a little bit more details?
No, actually, on the 5th of January, so the things we are announcing is different data products helping you to digitalize yourself, or basically helping you to know yourself more. And based on those knowledge, based on those data, that we will provide you some of those applications. The applications will cover skincare, nutrition, healthcare, and medical care. So those are the four main areas we are focusing on. So we will launch basically dozens. Eventually, will become hundreds and thousands of applications based on the data that we will generate for you.
So, what is it? Key target audience for this new product? It can be everyone, right?
Well, it will be everyone, actually. So it's different levels of data products representing different resolution of knowing yourself. So that's actually, for the lowest one, it's only cost you, you know, less than $30 or $50. So it's very cheap in a way.
$30 US?
I think the first product we're trying to launch is about that range, $30 to $50 per person, right? So everybody could afford it to digital themselves. And the products, of course, covers everything. As I said, from skincare to nutrition to healthcare to medical care. But the high-end products will cost you a lot, right? So because that in that way, we were trying to generate all the full information yourself. The cost is very high, in a way. But it's also more valuable to digitalize it than individually.
Since you mentioned the price in U.S. dollar, is this product going to be targeting the global users, or?
Yeah, it will be global.
But including Chinese users?
Of course.
so China and globally, but it seems like such a huge sort of target. I mean, how do you convince people to spend this money and have this profile?
How I convince people to?
Right.
So, well, education is one thing, right? So I think people have different needs. So they, I mean, for most of the people know, so they have their sort of needs of doing better skincare, better nutrition, you know, better healthcare, better medical care. And if we could provide them a very good solution for that, it's not one-size-fits-all stuff, right? So it's basically they're tailored in their product and service. I think they will love it.
Do you have any targets in terms of, you know, how much revenue you want to hit in a certain time period, or how many users you want to acquire?
We said, I already said last year, so in 3 to 5 years we're going to accumulate data for 1 million individuals.
So when you have 1 million individuals, what will be the total combined, how many TBs of data will there require for that many individuals?
Well, individual-wise, if you, as I said, different resolution at different time points would be totally different size of the data storage. But yeah, you could think about terabytes or even more. This level of data would be connected.
So basically,
for each individual.
So basically, iCarbonX is going to aggregate lots and lots of data, so I just want to understand a little bit about the level and the size of the data you're going to gather initially. So, I mean, how many servers and how many, you know, server space it requires for you to manage and aggregate this data?
Well, no, I don't think that storage size will be a problem, actually, because now the computing science go very fast and all these cloud computing systems there. Here and there is there's a lot of cloud service partners even in this city, right? So Tencent is good at that, Huawei is good at that, so they are building up all this infrastructure there. So I don't really see that as a problem, or even it is a problem, it's a good problem to have, right? So
when you gather so much data, what policies or guidelines do you have to protect information privacy?
Well, if it's not more important than the information in the bank, it's probably at least similar level or even higher level there. So every individual who works with us will sign a consent forms to sort of agree upon how we use the data, what's the data rights and privacy there. And the data will be kept, of course, very secret, in a very high top security way to deal with all the data. So we're having all this technology there trying to, we also work with Huawei and Tencent on all those sort of data security issues there.
You know, when we say that this company's artificial intelligence, obviously you have this data and you need intelligent ways to analyze them and then for them to produce useful and valuable intelligence for us. So for this analysis process, what kind of technology are you using? Is it deep learning, machine learning?
Well, there is a three basic assumption there, right? The first assumption is every life could be digitalized. So every form of life could be digitalized. So then we just need different technology to digitalize it. And the second one is every digitalized life could be modeled. So this module is what we call artificial intelligence, or and I say could be AI. And this artificial intelligence is trying to simulate, basically, or to make a digital form of you. So you have your carbon-based, this is what our name, right? Like iCarbonX. So you have your carbon-based profile. But we could try to use computers to make a silicon-based you. So it's a digital form of you. And so when I drink a coffee, so I don't have to drink a coffee to know how my body reacts. I connect the my digital form of me to drink a coffee and to see how the body reacts. So every life could be, you know, artificial intelligence, the modeling, doing all those ways. But if it's deep learning or machine learning or those kind of different techniques there, so we're trying them all, right? So to see what would be the best way to make this simulation. Probably from the very beginning, you don't even have to do a neural network to do that. So there's a lot of algorithms developing right now. And the third thing is that all digitalized life could be networked. So they have to be linked together, be able to communicate and aggregate the data and doing more interesting stuff together.
Do you foresee any regulatory risks as you develop your products?
Well, if we do a lot of medical care product like diagnosis or treatment stuff, I think we need to, of course, have CFD or FDA approval. Yeah, that's for sure.
Any other like regulatory gray zones that you feel maybe need more clarity in terms of regulation?
Well, we will see. I mean, because if there is already a very matured regulatory systems or environments for certain products, we will do it. But if something become a gray zone of, you know, then we will figure out what to do. And we'll probably, like what we've done at BGI for the first genetic testing of Down syndromes there, right? So, and first of all, we don't really know how to regulate that, which system we could use. But eventually, we sort of helped CFDA to establish their systems to have that education, to have that regulation down. So you
keep constantly communication with the Chinese?
Yeah, when the time comes, of course, we will have all this communication with government.
In September, iCarbonX acquired an Israeli company called Imago Vision. Can you talk a little bit about that acquisition? What do you plan to do integrating their technology?
It's an AI company. So two co-founders was also the kind of co-founders of a company called Computing, which is also a very good bioinformatics company. So those founders knows both artificial intelligence and biological data. So they are one of the best in the world for the for those biological data analysis, simulation, and things like that. So I think they are pretty good technology, pretty good for the AI core building there.
So you plan to maybe integrate part of their technology into your own process?
But recently, I think on the 5th of January, we're also going to announce about $400 million acquisition or investment, which is a better term. So $400 million investment on four or five companies, U.S. companies, that for the iCarbonX ecosystems for data generation and applications there. So you will know more details there.
Oh, so you're doing so many acquisitions. You know, one of the big issues for any acquisition is integration, and how do you actually create synergy between the new company that you just bought? What's your thinking on, you know, integration and actually creating value from buying those companies, and which you're spending lots of money, $400 million,
well,
is a big figure.
I did once, right, for the Complete Genomics, when BGI acquired Complete Genomics several years ago. So it went very well. I think for any of those works, need first of all a common shared vision and also trust. So I think we have both. So we have a really pretty good shared common vision, and we know how to put, and logically, from scientific logic and business logic, we know how to put all those things together to make a bigger pictures there. And we have full trust. All those founders I know for years. So it's not just a financial investment, it's also a strategic investment from us. So we know them very well about how to build together.
So buying an Israeli company, four US companies.
Five.
So does that mean, for example, you mentioned 1 million individuals. So what is the divide between Chinese and non-Chinese users?
Well, we haven't figured out that yet, right? So we are still trying to figure. Maybe it will become 3 million. So 1 million is just a million individual level, right? So I don't say it will stop at the number 1 million individual, right? So it's just a magnitude of the size.
What's your international expansion plan aside from those acquisitions you just mentioned?
Well, after all this investment, we will already have a U.S. base, and we will have also try to see if the Israel base could be used as our European base, of course. Yeah, we are all thinking about that. right now?
Well, globalization is a risky path for Chinese companies. There hasn't really been a lot of Chinese companies who succeeded in doing that.
I think BGI did pretty well. And yeah, they did pretty well in the international market. So I don't see ICX as a Chinese company, actually. You see it as a global company from the beginning. So we think of, as all these global plans, we think about, we're working on all these diseases for humankind, right? So it's not a one country thing. It's the common goal for every single country.
So BGI, you think, did pretty well. What are some things that you can learn from BGI in terms of how to have a successful global
plan? Well, as I said, when I started doing operation, when I was still the CEO of BGI, I never see BGI as just a Chinese company, right? So it's as the same as right now, I see ICX, I never see it as a Chinese company. So you have a goal that every country shares and every population shares, and there is a market for every population too. So we just need to make it work at the global wise. And also you have to gather all the, or you have to have all this what we call collective intelligence from all kinds of countries. So it's not just China. So you need to have technology from US, from Israel market, from US, from Europe, from China, you know, manufacturing power. I mean, you need to assemble all different kind of strengths worldwide to get it done.
Right, it sounds perfect, but it's so difficult to implement. But let me ask you about the Tencent.
Nothing is easy, right? So those things, if you want to achieve big, of course it's more difficult. But,
So in terms of fundraising, the company had raised around $200 million in venture funding, big part coming from Tencent. Any further fundraising plans in the works?
Not recently, but we are preparing something in the future.
As we mentioned in the beginning, the company started in a very high valuation.
It's the lowest of the company's history. Yeah.
Right, so I guess you just answered, you're not afraid of being in the valuation trap where you start so high, it will be difficult to...
If you look at the current ICX, I think it's undervalued in a way, right? So future value is always be higher.
So Tencent as a lead investor, what are some areas of potential cooperation specifically between iCarbonX and Tencent?
Well, Tencent has this WeChat as a 2C platform, right? So they have more than 800 million users there. So we have to use that in a smart way.
So soon I'll be able to create a digitized me on my WeChat app?
Well, at least we were building up something right now, yes.
How about your other big investor, China Bridge Capital? You know, they're venture funds, but are there any potential cooperations between?
Tencent, we have two companies. One is a big data company called Rongzhilian. Some financial investors, as you just mentioned, China Bridge, and there's Fengxiang Tosis and other ones. There's several investors too there. Yes, so.
So as you build this company, what is the biggest challenge you face right now?
Well, as I said, it's not easy task, right? So everything is start from scratch. It's new. Technology is new. Market is new. And product development is new. Even this AI algorithms and doing all this AI modeling is new. So we do have a very good team. Actually, we have a lot of very high profile partners and very skillful partners here too. But we still have to make it work. So I think the next month, the 5th of January, the announcement is to show the first power that when we put everything together, how it look like. But we still need to develop that to the next level.
In the beginning, you mentioned your fascination with life and trying to figure out what life is. What's your thinking on that now?
Well, this is the goal that for my life, right? So we are doing that sort of towards to that direction. Accumulating enough data, you know, 1 million individuals or 10 million individuals or 1 billion individuals there. And those are all different life programs. and they are actually working differently under different conditions and having different results. So be able to digitalize them and fit it into an AI module will come sort of eventually helping us again to understand life, right, as a program. So I think that's exactly what I'm doing.
Have you watched the British TV series Black Mirror?
Yeah, I heard about that. I saw a few, yes.
Did you see the one about virtual reality, the story about two women?
Well, there is a lot of science fiction about talking about artificial intelligence, you know, how you basically make an avatar view in a computer, or having artificial intelligence really become the power, have the power of human, and yeah, things like that. But I think all of them will be based on the understanding of life. As this three-beating base of our DNA, how, as a program of life, in a carbon-based, how they actually behave, how they, so when those baselines facing different different conditions and different lifestyle diets and everything, how they react. I think those things will be more and more. I think in the next 5 years, all the life and biology and everything will be redefined, or at least a lot of knowledge will be gained sort of in the next 5 years. So it's very fascinating.
Well, thank you so much, Wanjing, for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.